when the message is a warning. In my mother's life, next to her two sons, her very best friend has been her 12-pound bundle of energy wrapped up in the body of a border terrier named Corey Sue. While I travel frequently for tours and seminars, I do my best to call Mom at least once a week to check in and see how things are going in her life and let her know what's happening in mine. Well, just before my 2000 book tour for The God Code, I'd called Mom on a Sunday afternoon and she shared her concerns about her dog. I heard the concerns in Mom's voice as she described what was happening. Corey just hasn't been acting like herself or eating well, Mom said. So she'd taken her to a vet to see if there was a problem. During the examination, a series of x-rays were made and they showed something that no one was expecting. For some unexplained reason, Corey's films showed patches of small white spots all over her lungs, patches that shouldn't have been there. I've never seen anything like this in a dog before, the vet had said. She was absolutely mystified and decided to run more tests to see what the spots might be telling us about Corey. While Mom was obviously concerned about her dog, as I listened to her story, I became concerned for another reason. I shared with Mom the principle of resonance and how we're tuned to our world, our automobiles, our homes, and sometimes even our pets. I offered a number of case histories where animals have been documented to take on their owner's medical conditions weeks, sometimes even months, before the same conditions were found in the bodies of the people who cared for them. My sense was that something like this was probably happening between Corey and my mom. Well, after some convincing that life is full of such messages, Mom agreed to a checkup for herself. Although she was experiencing absolutely no discomfort, and from outward appearances, had no reason to go to the doctor, she agreed to schedule a physical that included a chest x-ray. Well, you can probably tell where the story is headed and the reason I'm sharing it here. To Mom's surprise, the x-rays revealed a suspicious spot on her lung as well, one that had not been there during her annual physical less than a year before. Further investigation showed that she had a scar in precisely the location that resulted from an illness that had healed itself years before during her childhood. Apparently, while the scar had healed, it had also become cancerous in her later years. Well, 3 weeks later, Mom underwent surgery. Lower one-third of her right lung was completely removed. As I spoke with the doctor in the recovery room after the surgery, he reiterated how lucky Mom was that the spot had been detected early, especially because there was no telltale symptom of any problems. Well, this is an example of how we can apply the mirrors in our lives. Because Mom and I had learned to read the messages that life was showing us, and we'd trusted the language enough to apply it in a practical way, this story has a happy ending. Mom recovered from her surgery, and she's doing great and has been cancer-free for 6 years. Interestingly enough, however, the spots in Corey's lungs that had originally alerted us to look into Mom's condition completely disappeared after Mom's surgery as well. She and Mom had another 6 years together in good health and with all of the joy they found in each other in their daily routines. While it may not be possible to prove scientifically that Corey's condition had anything whatsoever to do with what happened to Mom, we can say that the correlation between the two experiences is high. While we may not fully understand that correlation today, the truth is that we could study it for another 50 years and still not understand it fully. But what we can do, however, is to apply what we do know in our lives. And when we do, the events of our daily lives become a rich language, full of symbols and signs that offer insights into our most intimate secrets. Once again, in a world where life itself mirrors our deepest beliefs, there can be few things that are truly secret. Ultimately, it probably matters less how the unexpected curves of life come our way, and more about whether or not we recognize the language that warns us when they're coming. Our greatest fears. Because the divine matrix constantly reflects our beliefs, feelings, and emotions through the events of our lives, the everyday world gives us insights into the deepest realms of our hidden selves. In our personal mirrors, we're shown our true beliefs, our true loves and fears, and from this way of thinking of things, the world is a powerful and often literal mirror, and one that is not always easy to face. With complete honesty, Life gives us a direct window into the ultimate reality of our beliefs. Sometimes our reflections come to us, however, in ways that we would never expect. I remember an incident that occurred in the Safeway grocery store of a Denver suburb one evening in 1989. I'd stopped on the way home from work, as I often did, to pick up a few things for dinner. As I wandered along the canned food section, I glanced up from my grocery list just long enough to notice that I was alone in the aisle, except for a young mother with a small girl seated in the shopping cart. They were obviously in a hurry and looked as if they were about as happy to be grocery shopping at the end of their day as I was. As my attention returned to comparing the names on my list to those on the cans, suddenly I was startled by the sound of a child's scream. And this was not just any old scream, with a volume and intensity that would have rivaled Ella Fitzgerald's Is It Real or Is It Memorex commercials. It was the young girl that I just noticed in the grocery cart. And she was terrified, absolutely terrified. Within a few seconds, the girl's mother stepped back into the aisle to calm her daughter down. Immediately, the girl stopped screaming and life in the store returned to normal for everyone. Well, while we've all seen something like this before, that night, something seemed different to me. For some reason, rather than just ignoring an incident that happens so commonly, I really took a look at what was happening. My eyes instinctively searched the aisle to see why that young girl may have been screaming. And all that I saw was that the mother had momentarily stepped away from her cart, leaving her daughter of about 2 or 3 years of age alone just for a moment. And that was all. The girl was screaming simply because she was alone. But I wanted to know why. Why was the girl so frightened? Her mother had simply stepped away for an instant out of sight around the corner of another aisle. Why would a young child, surrounded by a world of colorful cans and pretty labels, with no one around to discourage any exploration, suddenly be so terrified at such a prospect? Why wouldn't she simply think to herself something like, hey, here I am alone with these beautiful cans of Campbell's soup, red and white. I think I'll just explore each one row at a time, and have a great time doing it. Why would the prospect of being alone, even if it's only for a moment, touch something so deep in her at that early age that her instinct would be to scream at the top of her lungs? On another evening, I'd scheduled a counseling session with a woman that I'd worked with many times in the past. Our evening began as usual, as the young woman in her mid-30s relaxed into the wicker chair in front of me. I asked her to describe what had happened during the course of the week since we'd last talked. She began telling me about her relationship with her husband of nearly 18 years. For much of the marriage, they'd fought, sometimes violently. She'd been on the receiving end of what seemed like daily criticism of everything from the way she dressed to the way she ran the house, cooked the meals. Even in bed, she said, she felt like she was never good enough. While the treatment that she described was nothing new in their relationship, during the week that had passed, the situation had escalated. Her husband had become angry when she confronted him with questions about his overtime and late nights at the office. She was miserable with the man that she loved and trusted for so long. Now her misery was being compounded with a very real threat of physical harm. It was resulting from her husband's out-of-control emotions. Well, in the heat of their most recent fight, her husband had left the house, gone to live with a friend. He offered no phone number, no address, no indication of if or even when he'd ever come back. He was just gone. Suddenly, the man who had made this woman's life so miserable for so long, and it even threatened her physical safety, was gone at last. As she described as leaving, I waited for some sign of relief, a sign that I never saw. In its place, however, something truly astonishing began to happen. She began to sob uncontrollably in the realization that her husband was gone. And when I asked her to describe what she was feeling, what I heard was not the resolution or the relief that I'd expected. Instead, she was feeling the pain of being alone in the sense that she would be alone for the rest of her life. She began describing her feelings using words like crushed, absolutely devastated in the absence of her husband. Now, in the opportunity to live free of criticism and insults and abuse, she was distressed, just like the young girl in the supermarket aisle. Once again, I asked the question, why? Well, the answer in each of these situations is the same. As different as each one appears from one another, there is a common thread that brings them both together, And that thread is this. There's a very good chance that the terror that the young girl experienced in the supermarket and the devastation felt by the woman actually had little to do with the people that left them in those moments. The girl's mother and the woman's husband both served as catalysts for a powerful yet subtle pattern that runs so deep within each of us that it's nearly unrecognizable. Often it's completely forgotten. That pattern is fear. And fear has many masks in our culture. Although it plays a key role in the way we build everything from our friendships and our careers to our romances and the health of our bodies, almost on a daily basis, fear surfaces in our lives in ways that we simply don't recognize, at least not immediately. What's even more interesting is that that pattern may not even be ours. When we find ourselves touched by an experience that forces powerful negative emotions to surface, we can rest assured that no matter what we may think has caused that fear to rise, there is a really good possibility that something very different is playing out. Something so deep and so primal that it's easy to overlook. That is, until it crosses our paths in a way that cannot be mistaken.